over an extended period of time. And very few sit-down exams were given that year. I don't know why that happened. I can't figure out why exams got so important that particular time. There was the time when they wanted to go to Washington, but I think thousands and thousands of students did go to Washington. But that was over in a couple of days. And they wanted to campaign, I suppose. But a lot of them didn't really get to do that. But I suppose it had some real and maybe some lasting effects on the scheduling of law school courses and examinations. And
it sounds as though this take-home exam has lingered on.
Mm-hmm. Has lingered on, yes. And that, of course, has much to be said for it, much to be said against it. The old-fashioned view of the monitored exam has relaxed terrifically. I think faculty are ready to recognize now that you don't have to carry it all in your head. Lawyers don't have to carry it all in their head. They have to know where to go to find things, but they don't have to remember everything when they go and take a four-hour exam.
What are the things you see against take-home exams?
Well, the problem of original work becomes one that has to be considered. Honest presentations. I think now students sign a thing, an affidavit, that they've not taken any illegal, had any illegal assistance. There was one student I remember, I felt so sorry for him. He was an athlete, he's long gone from the campus now, whose grades in that particular semester went up substantially over what they were before or after. And it was because of his grades in that semester that he was able to graduate. He had not done well other. And he was uneasy always about that. And I had this feeling that somebody had done his work for him with his take-home exams. Mm. Raised him that semester into a grade level that he never achieved again.
I read in the paper in the Cardinal at the time, which was around the early 70s, that there was some question whether the law school was going to continue to be accredited. Can you tell me anything about that?
Well, there's law schools are periodically visited and examined by the Association of American Law Schools and a committee of the American Bar Association. These are on a regular basis of every 5 or 10 years. They are inspected and observed and studied for purposes of continuing their accreditation. At the time that happened, for the last in 73, 74, did you say?
Around there,
yes. It was the law school was, and that was George Bunn was the dean, and the law school was the its biggest squabble, its biggest fight with the legislature and the campus administration on the question of budget, the question of salaries compared to professors at other law schools, the question of the size of the faculty compared to the number of students, the fact that it had grown substantially, the fact that the building was inadequate. All of these things were noted by the accreditation team that came. And the law school tried to make rather judicious use of that information, which meant that there was a good deal of publicity about it.
This I recall.
Yes, there was a lot of talk about it. Worried people. It worried alumni, particularly the younger alumni. We were just talking a minute ago about how they didn't want to be called as graduates of a mediocre law school. The younger alumni were alarmed that they would have be graduated from school that might not be accredited. Prospective students, of course, wanted to know, particularly good students who had choices in many law schools, wanted to know what would happen if the school was no longer accredited. I don't think it ever was even a possibility. It was a kind of a thing that the law school tried to take advantage of for purposes of improvements, which I think it worked. I think the faculty was increased. The pupil-teacher ratio, which I've always considered kind of a false measure of quality, was lowered. That is, they added faculty to make the number of teachers available to the students, more teaching time available to students. But even at that time, Harvard Law School had many more students per teacher than most other law schools. It's a very large law school. But I don't think anybody would say on that basis that it wasn't a good law school. I think, you know, you'd take your life in your hands if you say such a thing. So that this was part of the whole scene at the time. And it did work. I remember myself talking to the man who had been chairman of the committee that came here from the Association of American Law Schools. I called him on the phone because I was writing something for the Gargoyle about the whole subject. He said, of course, we'd have to remove the accreditation of 150 law schools before we get to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is considered, always has been, a very good, very, very good law school among the state university law schools. But there are, in the country, historically, and I think at the present time, about 5 law schools that are in a class by themselves that are different from other law schools and don't measure themselves by the same standards. That would be Harvard, Yale, Columbia, Michigan, Chicago, and Stanford.
What's different about them?
Well, they're just the fact that they have the best students in the country. They have the pick of the best students in the country. They operate, except for Michigan, they're private institutions connected with very, very prestigious universities. And so they tend to be sort of in a class by themselves, sort of pace setters. But then, just below them, or in addition to them, there are a large group of very good law schools. And, of course, Wisconsin would certainly be one of them. But there was you don't hear much talk about that anymore in the last 5 or 10 years. That's 5 or 6 years. That has changed. We aren't so worried about our relative position anymore as we were.
As you were at that time. Mm-hmm. Well, you're right about the publicity. There was quite a lot of it.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't it about this time or was it a little later that the extra wing was, library wing was added?
It was about that time that it was put into the works and it was finished, I think, in 1978. And now, of course, they're talking about another building.
Well, there are two possibilities. One that I've read recently, one is putting on another addition to the mm-hmm. present building, and the other is moving the school off the hill to a different place, different location. How do you feel about
the I don't know. The law school options? Faculty never always resisted any idea that they might have some part of their faculty, part of their classes in another building. That just seemed to be an abhorrent idea. I never could figure out why. I could see why they wanted all the offices in one building for purposes of administration and delivering the mail and that sort of thing, answering the phone. But why they resisted so having an occasional class taught in another part of the campus, I never could figure out. And it might jazz up the whole place a little bit to be different. The building is too small, clearly. And something has to be done. They had talked about building onto the tower. I think there were 5 stories in the tower. 6. 7.
Something like that, I read.
They could add another couple of floors to the tower. I don't know. I think the school is permanently larger now than it was before. This increase in enrollment is not just a passing phase. This school is permanently, apparently, between 900 and 1,000 students now. I noticed our daughter teaches out in Arizona. They had what I thought was quite a nice building when she was there before. Then she went to Washington for 4 years and went back. And they have a lovely, brand new building now. Beautiful building, lovely offices and classrooms, and a permanent enrollment of 450. They're not going to let their law school get big.
Well, there's been some attempt, hasn't there, to limit or cut down somewhat the size of this law school?
Well, there was. During many of the first years I was at the law school, a lot of talk about a second law school in Wisconsin.
Oh, yes. That was
we were one of the few states that doesn't have two public law schools. There are many complications connected with that. Then, of course, there's all this movement to have a part-time or a night program, which they now have, I guess. But as the faculty thought, the legislature must now know, there aren't many people in Madison who want to go to a night law school. There are a few state employees, possibly, who might want to do that. But the system has been set up at the insistence of the legislature to provide a certain number of courses taught at night, which added up in 5 years would give a student everything he needed to be a graduate.
To pass his bar exam.
Yeah,
well, he doesn't have to pass a bar exam.
Not in Wisconsin. No.
Just remembering.
Yeah. He doesn't have, but it, enough to make him admissible to the bar. They could, of course, the talk of another law school alarmed Marquette. If I worked a little on some of the preliminary studies that went into that, and studying the population of Wisconsin, it would seem quite clear. Studying the population of Wisconsin and the applications to the law school that were turned down because there wasn't space, it was quite clear that if there were going to be a second law school, it would have to be in Milwaukee or in the southeast corner of the state somewhere. And, of course, that alarmed Marquette Law School and all their alumni. And it didn't, and it just hasn't, I think the idea was laid to rest because this law school proved itself able to absorb 900 students. And because this law school, at this time that discussion was going on, had a major increase in its appropriations and in its own facilities. So that didn't seem as necessary to have a second law school.
Do you think that the subject may come up again in the
future? It's possible. It's possible, although I don't think there's any cry now that there aren't enough lawyers. Maybe people are beginning to feel we've got plenty. We don't have to expand facilities.
Well, we'll just have to
wait and see.
Wait and see about that.
There are still about the same number of people applying to law school, I understand, for an entering class of about 300 to 350. For the last number of years, they've had about 1,900 to 2,000 applications. Very few applications from people that are clearly unqualified.
Well, they're turning away many, many more than they're taking then.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That's true at all law schools, I think.
Well, I think I'm pretty much running out of questions on this in this area. Can you think of anything else we should discuss?
No, not at the moment. 4 o'clock tomorrow morning, I will.
Yeah. You can call me up.
Turn on the machine. I did enjoy working at the law school. I enjoyed working with the students. I should probably have been a lawyer myself. My father wanted me to be a lawyer, would have sent me to law school. He was a lawyer. My brother was a lawyer.
Did you consider this seriously at any time?
No, I didn't really. It didn't hit me until just a couple of years ago why I didn't. My father was a good lawyer, a busy, active lawyer, but he was interested in business and banking and building and loans and real estate and that sort of thing. And it didn't seem to me there's nothing wrong with it, but I just wasn't terribly interested in probate and that kind of thing. And then after I'd been in the legislature and I was staying at home, I could have gone to law school very easily. And Jim was practicing law. But I saw how hard he worked at things that didn't interest me terribly much. Nevertheless, it just didn't occur to me. If I were coming along now, there'd be no question in my mind, because lawyers are doing so many more things than they used to do. The profession itself has expanded into so many interesting avenues that I think there'd be no question. My daughters, are lawyers, and I certainly would have been right there with them if I were young.
If you were to be in the area of law now, what particular aspects would interest you most?
Well, one of the new fields that I've noticed is in certain areas of legal advocacy and legislation. For instance, I know some young women that work for a juvenile policy program, law for children and so on, who help draft the legislation, the new children's code that was adopted a few years ago, and then went around on the basis of it, training juvenile judges and other people around the state as to what the new law meant, which is a marvelous development. Years ago, they'd adopt a new big code, and the legislature would pass it, and that would be the end of it. It would go out to the judges, who would go on doing things pretty much the way they'd always done.
Oh, really?
Now, there's a real effort to make these things actually work, to make the law work for the benefit of the people that it's going to serve. That sort of thing is new, and it would be fun, I think. And there are other many interesting ways of the things that lawyers are doing now. These public defenders programs or these legal aid programs have expanded terrifically on what sorts of things they do. And the whole profession itself is much more diverse than it used to be. And I suppose if everybody my age went to law school, there'd suddenly be too many lawyers, and there we'd be.
I don't.
Suddenly too many lawyers, and there we'd be.
I don't think that's a real danger.
No, not now.
Well, did you want to tell me something about all your lawyer family?
Well, I was just thinking about. It's been fortunate in all my activities that when I was teaching high school, my kids were entering high school. When I went to work for the university among undergraduates, my own children were undergraduates at other colleges. And when I went to work at the law school, they were law students, or just recently out of law school.
Here or?
No, well, one of them went here. Katie went to law school here. But Mary went to Boston College Law School her first year, and then transferred to Columbia. And Jim went to Harvard Law School. And our kids did not go to college here. They went elsewhere to college. But nevertheless, I always felt as though I understood more what was going on with them because I was in it myself. But my kids have been they've been very good students. We've been very proud of all of them. And it's nice to see them now going along, although I fuss at them about being too busy.
They take on too much. Your son Jim, who's our district attorney right now.
And busy he is. And
busy, yes.
And his wife is very busy. And they have two adopted sons. And Mary has had practice law in New York. Then she worked at the, she's our eldest. She worked at the investigations at Attica. She was one of the administrators after the terrible disorders at Attica prison in New York. Then worked for the Board of Corrections of the City of New York on a justice improvement program. And then went to teach out at Arizona for a year or two, and then went to Washington for her years, for the Carter years, in which she was Associate General Counsel in the Environmental Protection Agency for part of that time. She also taught a year at Georgetown and a year at the University of Virginia during those 4 years. But so she's been a terribly active and busy person. And when I complained to her about that, she says, it's the very same words I heard Grandma saying to you when you were in their 30s, you know. It's the same sort of thing. And I suppose maybe I've given them that kind of drive, but they've made good use of it.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. And they're all interested in the law. And, of course, that's not so much from me, I suppose, as from their father, who has been at it a long time.
Yes, it sounds very like it.
Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing in a way.
Oh, I don't see why.
We have, our Anne has not gone to law school, but she realizes now what the work she's interested in, what she does as a legal associate in the Brooklyn Legal Services. We'll retire her if she wants to have a full career, and if she wants to stick with it, she'll have to go to law school now.
So even she
In spite of her pronouncements that she was never going to do it, everybody else had done it, she was never going to do it. I think she probably will be thinking about it. In the meantime, she functions as a lawyer for about half the pay.
That would be an inducement to go to school.
Yeah.